I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the trap goal!
Abanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Abanelli spots out.
Welcome back to the Borough Breakdown Podcast with Johnny, Dana and Tom. We are the Borough Podcast that gives you the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs of Middlesbrough Football Club. And if you haven't listened to our podcast before, welcome. And if you've listened to us many, many times, welcome back. And also, if you haven't followed us on YouTube or on the podcast apps, make sure you do that. We've got plenty of guests coming on. We've definitely got one announced tomorrow, due out on Wednesday, so make sure you look out for our socials for that. But anyway, let's chat about the Borough. And well, Middlesbrough lost 2-0 yesterday at Barnsley and have made it 1 point in the last four games, ultimately ending all of our playoff chances. Dana, we'll kick things off with you. A game yesterday which definitely wasn't one for the neutral. How would you assess the performance yesterday?
I kept hearing people say, well, Barnsley style of play, Barnsley playing long ball, Barnsley going direct. But we played more long balls than them. So what was our excuse? You know, we had the players to play a different way and we had the players to play the ball along the floor and get in behind, and we just never did that. And the pace of Cabano, Watmore, Akpom, Spence, and we just hoofed it long. And if Barnsley were doing it too, it made for an abject game. But they had the quality at the end of the day. They've got Dal DK, who's come in from the MLS and started in the Championship like a house on fire. And then what have we got up front? It was absolutely toothless. And then defensively, mistakes rife again. It just wasn't a good performance from Borough and very disappointing.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the defensive fragility, to be honest, because we were so strong there last year, but pretty much the start of this season, the back end of last season, where we started to improve under Warnock, and now it seems to be a very much a bit of a weakness to us now. Tom, how would you assess Barnsley's style of play? Because Dana alluded to it there. Borough have hit more long balls yesterday than what Barnsley did, and Barnsley is supposed to be this very long ball direct side. Why do you think teams are struggling against them?
I don't know. I think we just struggled to break them down yesterday, and it seemed to be effective for them. You know, they were quite compact at the back, did a good job of taking the ball off us at that point, and then it's balls up quite direct. DK was quite good at holding the ball up front, and yeah, they did it better than us. But as Dana's just said there, we had the players to play a different way. I think if we had played a different way, we might have... I wouldn't say a different result, because a lot would rely on different kind of variables for that, but it might have given us a better chance, because we didn't give ourselves a chance with the way we were playing yesterday compared to how they did it.
Yeah, we definitely did give ourselves a chance. I can't remember us getting a shot on target, to be honest, apart from the Saville header.
Saville. There was another one, because I was looking at the post-match stats, it said two shots on target, but I couldn't tell you the second one.
The second shot?
Did we even get anywhere near close to their goal in the second half?
It didn't feel like it, to be honest.
It really didn't, did it?
I'm trying to like rack my brain to actually think of any chances that we created. But Tom, the two goals we did give away, an error from Bettinelli, again with the Alex Mauer score from a corner, and Daryl Dyke obviously scoring from close range, giving them the victory. We've just said it wrong there about the defence, but why do you think this side is starting to leak so many goals now, especially given the start of the season we were so strong?
I don't want to kind of blame it all on Bettinelli, but I think the goalkeeper could be like a big part of it. I think you only have to look at our past history to look back at how a good goalkeeper can make a difference. You look at the difference between when we had Jason Steele compared to when we brought in Shea Given, and it was pretty much the same defence. It was the same season. You know, we were all celebrating Jason Steele as this great shot stopper and stuff, but he didn't inspire confidence in the defence, whereas Shea Given did. I feel like Bettinelli might not inspire confidence in our defence. I mean, an example of that yesterday would be the mix-up between Hall and Bettinelli, where Bettinelli end up booting through DK. You know, you need a strong presence in goal to either say leave it, you know, because Hall had that covered up until he seen Bettinelli run out. But, you know, I think a stronger presence might have prevented that. So I'd be interested to see next season if we can get a bit of a stronger, more vocal presence in goal, if he could organise the defence a bit better there, because that seemed to be an issue for me yesterday.
Well, we'll come on to transfers in a little bit later on, but Bettinelli. Yeah. I'm looking at you. As soon as I mentioned his name, you didn't look too pleased. But should we discuss him a little bit before we move on to Brit?
We can do. Yeah, I mean, I checked again about the save ratio. Still the worst in the championship for keepers that have played 20 or more games, and he's vocal. I'll give him that. He's vocal, and that's what you need from a goalkeeper. But also, like Tom said, I think he needs to inspire confidence, and he just doesn't. And at the end of the day, goalkeepers should save your points, not cost your points. And that's what Marcus Bettinelli is doing. And I suppose it was to be expected, given the way that he exited Fulham in the end and how Marek Rodak took his place. But he's not been great this season, and I wouldn't imagine that Neil Warnock would keep him on for next season.
I can't see it either, to be honest. Just given that his current performance, said I don't think he's been as strong as what we kind of wanted, really. When he first came in, you thought it's a really shrewd signing.
I didn't.
You didn't? I thought it was good. I thought it was a good bit of business. I thought he would do all right. Go pair of England 21s. You know, he's got some promotions under his belt. I thought it would be a fairly decent signing to come in. I appreciate you might not be as strong as what it's probably what strong as Randolph was, but you thought, you know, it's quite a good transition, or a transition that we might potentially have. And given that we didn't think that Ainsley Pearce was ready either, it made sense to bring someone more experience in. But it's a shame that it hasn't really worked out for him. But we'll come on to goalkeepers a little bit later on. But I want to chat about Britt first, Dana. It saw him come back into the fold yesterday after Neil Warnock said that he's pretty much done with the club. Were you surprised that he got game time yesterday?
Not really, because I think he did say in his pre-match interview that he was probably going to get a game. And I think he said something along the lines of, don't be surprised if Britt, you know, gets a look in towards the end of the season. And I think you've got a point about it. The FA Youth Cup fixture or something like that probably meant that Josh Coburn and maybe another player that could have been on the bench from the under-23s just weren't there. So I think the lack of options probably meant that he was going to get an opportunity. But I'm sort of thinking, what's the point? You know, what's the point with Britt?
What's the point in playing him, ref?
Exactly. But, like, what's the point in playing both Britt and Fletcher? I mean, Fletcher in particular, actually, because he's waiting until the end of the season to decide his future. That, to me, well, I mean, that's indecision, first and foremost. And that just indicates to me that he's not fully into being here at the moment. So if he's not fully into being here at the moment, and, you know, we can't carry passengers, we can't carry people that are waiting for, you know, next season where they might not be at the club. So I think both of them, I understand why they came on yesterday, because we didn't have the options. But from now on, I do kind of want to see the youngsters given a chance.
Yeah, it'd be something I like to see as well. But the aspect of those players that are out of contract, we haven't got a lot of youth players that are probably ready to play yet. It makes you worry of like what the size of the squad we've got left and who pretty much wants to play for us, to be honest. It's such a strange scenario for us to be in. But I can't probably see any of the... You're thinking maybe Johnson, but apart from that, I can't really see any of them staying on, to be brutally honest with you. I think like it's a massive window for us in the summer to try and hopefully rebuild again. But then again, I worry a little bit because Warnock's only there for a year. Who is he going to bring in? Are we going to bring them in on quite big contracts, or are we not going to bring them on quite big contracts? And when Warnock does leave, are we going to be stuck with 11 planks of wood? Do you know what I mean? Because Neil Warnock's sides aren't really the most mobile and athletic and energetic and nimble and very crisp passing. They're very get the ball along, try and get in and around the box and cause something to happen. But it'd be interesting to see how we go. But we've got our transfer suggestions. So
we do.
I keep saying we'll keep coming with it, but it's wait for it because it'd be quite good. But Tom, speaking of shots and saying that we don't really create much anyway, Borough had seven shots on target in the last four games. So what, 360 minutes of football maybe? Yeah, 360 minutes of football and seven shots on target. It really shows that Borough have a significant weakness going forward, don't they?
Definitely. I think it's that weakness is just creating clear-cut chances. And I think it's because we don't have the players to play the style that we want to play alongside other teams probably figuring us out. I think a lot of teams in the games I've been watching recently know that we're going to cross it, so they just have people in the box expecting that cross. And you know, sometimes we'll get lucky. There'll be a bit of good positioning, like Bolasie's goal against Watford. A lot of the time they just cut it out though, and you know, we've got players like Akpom up front who would benefit more from being played through or having the ball at his feet or low crosses, but we just don't do it. Even when we're in the position to do the low crosses, like I said, other teams have figured us out, so they're in those positions to cut it out. I think next season we need to get the players in who can not only create from crosses but create through the middle as well, because that's, for me, somewhere we're lacking at the moment.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with you, to be honest. I tweeted yesterday that I feel so sorry for Tuba Akpom because it's so difficult to get your head on the end of a cross when it's 6 foot over your head. You know what I mean? He's not getting the chances. He's not getting the ball to his feet. And I'd be interested to see how many touches he had yesterday because I can't remember. Can't be many.
He was anonymous, wasn't he? But I don't think
it's his fault.
Yeah, I was just about to say that,
I think Tuba is, don't get me wrong, I think he's an okay signing. Is he a signing that's going to get Middlesbrough at the Premier League? Probably not. And I think he'd be a good signing to have, you know, like that second, third choice. But we did pay $2 million for him, and it's a bit of a bizarre signing given that Warnock was saying that he was his main centre forward. And since Warnock doesn't look at stats, then it also makes you wonder, right, okay, well, what's he really seen Tuba Akpom on? But Dylan, have you got his touches for yesterday?
Yeah, 11.
11 touches in 90 minutes, or in about 70 minutes.
Yeah, 11 touches in 70 minutes, exactly.
Yeah, so.
And two accurate passes.
Oh, so it's all right. It's maybe, what, 1.1 touch every 10 minutes that he was on the pitch, maybe? Some daft like that. But yeah, it's frustrating. I'd be frustrated if I was a striker and playing in this team. And we don't create chances. And when we do create chances, it's not to the players that we need it to fall to. And then when you think of probably... And he said Marvin Emner there, Marvin Johnson.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
That's the goal scoring machine that we need for
maybe,
this season.
Maybe.
Project Emner.
Maybe that is what we need. We need Project Emner to come back and resurrect our season. But I said Marvin Johnson on the... It's because he's on the screen in front of me. With Marvin Johnson, like, what? He's joint third in goal contributions this season. We'd have... You know, he's got 3 goals, 4 assists. I think we look more dangerous when he's on the football pitch. And we're not playing him, so it makes me think that is he probably out the window as well? Is he gone? And we're going to have to look for someone else. But overall, guys, do you think that following that performance yesterday, do you think that the players have pretty much down tools now and want the season to be over and want to go on holidays?
I'd say so, yeah. I'd even go as far as saying, and I don't know whether this is just merely reactionary for the past couple of games, but... The past couple of games have been a disgrace. The application of the players, I mean, it's disappointing, especially from Warnock as well, because I think Warnock's thrown the towel in as much as the players have. And it started with that Bournemouth game, because that Bournemouth game was probably our last roll of the dice to get playoffs. And I know it was a slim chance, but it was still a chance nonetheless. And when you needed Borough to stand up and fight for it, they just cowered into the corner. And whenever we go to the Vitality, you need to fight, and we just didn't. And it was so lethargic and pedestrian and pre-season almost. And that's what I'd say Borough have been since Bournemouth. Watford, I remember tweeting in the first half that they just don't look arsed. And of course, the footballing gods said, screw you, Dana. And then we equalised. Then people were in my mentions saying, oh, you should delete this now. And I was like, oh, yeah, fair enough. But at the time, I was thinking, these don't look like they're fully into this game. It just looks so lethargic. And yeah, I think the I don't know, the application in the past couple of games has been really bad, I would say. And if the performances are like that, especially yesterday, then Borough are going to have to hope there are no fans in the Riverside, because I don't think they'll stand for that. I think it'll get really toxic.
Would you say we've been found out a little bit?
Potentially, but I also think that, and we were talking about this in the car, weren't we? We've regressed since January, and I really don't know why. You know, before that, we were good, and we went on that, I think it was 10-game unbeaten run or something earlier on in the season, and even when that ended, we still looked quite good. And then after that, we've just tailed off completely. And you're thinking, right, we've addressed the problem with wingers, we've brought in options that Neil Warnock now has that he didn't before, and we've gone backwards.
Yeah, we have. Tom, would you echo Dana's thoughts there? Would you say that Borough have went backwards, and do you think they've down tools for the remainder of the season?
I definitely say we went backwards since January. I think that's obvious. We had a bit of a bad spell in January. Typical Borough, we usually do anyway. At the end of January, Warnock was saying, oh, I tend to get better results in February. So I was like, right, here's hoping. Hasn't even carried on. Fair enough, we've had some, you know, bad results in that time. You know, other factors couldn't necessarily have a knock on players' confidence, such as getting booted in the face and the Blackburn game for Fry and stuff like that. But it's not an excuse for the 3 months that we've been playing. In terms of down until the end of the season, I'd agree with you guys that Warnock's kind of thrown the white flag in on that one, and the players kind of look. They're playing like how I feel at the moment, where it's just like, oh god, another Borough game. We've got 5 to go. Can we not just do like a footy manager and like go on holiday at the end of the season and just start again? So
yeah, give it Ronnie Jeppson in the season, or give it a Leo or something. You know what I mean? But yeah, I agree with you guys. I think that Middlesbrough have pretty much down tools now. I feel like the season's over, and if I'm honest, I felt like the season was over before probably the Bournemouth game anyway, because I couldn't see us getting many points from these last 3 games at all. I think that this side is probably punching above its weight in terms of the whole season. I think that, if anything, Borough should be a second, bottom half of the table side, to be honest. I don't think we've got the quality there. I think we're very fortunate to have Warnock, because I know how he gets results in this division. But I think if anyone else, I think we would be really, really struggling. I think we'd probably be towards like the bottom quarter or bottom third of the table. And
we could well be, because
it's where we probably deserve to be, to be honest, because after so many years of trying to do shortcuts and trying to have, like, I don't know, what's the term? Is it square pegs around?
Yeah, square pegs around holes.
Whatever that term is. Yeah. We've been pretty much just putting a plaster over the things and making sure we'll do all right. You never know, we might go up next year, but I think Borough have just stuck in a transition and kind of like a now what moment of where do we go next. We've got Warnock in next year for one single season. I mentioned earlier he could sign 8 or 9 signings that might not fit with the next manager comes in, and then we're exactly where we were under Pulis, and then Woodgate took over and we've achieved nothing in that time. We've just competed, lost a load of cash because of COVID, and then that's pretty much it. So I don't know. What are you going to say something there, Dana?
Yeah, I was going to add on to the end of your point there. If we're in the same position, I genuinely think that we're not. Like, I don't think we've made great strides forward this season. And I read a piece in the Gazette that said so. And I remember saying at the beginning of the campaign, as long as we improve, I'll be happy. Yeah. I don't care about league position as long as we improve. Individually, the likes of McNair, Baller, Dyke, Steele, they've improved massively. I think Fry's really come into his own this season. But we still have the age-old problems. We still can't score goals. Come the summer, we still won't have any wingers, because the wingers have all gone back to their parent clubs, and then Nathaniel Mendes hangs out of contract. There are still mistakes that are being made, and costly mistakes that are being made. I remember looking at my post-season notes from last season, about 3 quarters full a page of just mistakes that cost us goals last season, that would probably be the same length if I was to do it for this season. And then we still don't have any leaders. You know, we still haven't rectified the issue of not having, you know, a proper captain to sort of stand up and be like a Leadbitter almost. And then the goalkeeping situation hasn't been sorted either. So when Bettinelli goes back, we're going to be looking for another keeper. So
we don't have our three of us. So the only keeper that we've got is Stojanovic that's going to come back. And then we'll come on to Stojanovic next, actually, then. And we've got Sol Brin, and that's it. We don't really have a proper number one. And that's a bit of a worry for me. And I agree with Dan. I think we have improved from last year. We've become harder to beat. We've been able to grind out results, which we needed at the time because we couldn't under Woodgate. And seeing Woodgate do reasonably well now at Bournemouth shows that it probably was the player qualities. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a lot of good quality players, it might be easier to manage. You're probably dealing with different like problems like egos and stuff like that. But yeah, it's an interesting scenario for Borough being. I think we have improved. Next year, I'm probably not going to put a title on the line, but I can't see us getting anywhere near being promoted. I think with the teams that are coming down as well, you know, Sheffield United, I don't know who they'll probably bring in next year, but I can't see them sticking with Heckenbottom, and they've got a good crop of players there. You've got West Brom under Sam Allardyce, and he looks like he wants to stay for next year. And when we were speaking to Robbie Stockdale, he's saying that they have a very, very good squad that just couldn't finish, and then they went and scored five against Chelsea.
the Robbie Stockdale effect.
To be fair, he did say it was off air that they were going to get a big result soon, but I just don't think anyone expected it to be Chelsea away.
No.
And they're difficult. And then you've got Fulham as well, and I know they've brought in like a few loans and stuff like that, and they'll have Cabano back. They look a strong side, and I really like Scott Parker as well. I think he's a great gaffer. But then again, appreciate they've got a little bit of a gap on Newcastle at the moment. But for me, I think Newcastle like the sides. I think they were getting beat off Burnley before we went on air. So you worry about them coming down. If they come down, then that's a massive club then. And then you've got the teams who don't go up, and then they're probably a lot better than what we are. So for me, I think we're a mid-table side for at least a couple more years before we can even progress, I think. And It's not thrown on the towel already, but I think that's probably the most realistic objective that we're going to be.
So I'm not too sure about that, because I've read in a few places recently that the reason Warnock's agreed to stay on next season is to try and, you know, challenge for automatic promotion. And with his comments after the game yesterday at Housen saying you're going to enjoy next season and stuff like that, I feel like he would have had assurances that he can bring in the players to challenge for automatic promotion if he's putting that type of noise out.
I'd hope so. I mean, I don't think Warnock would I think you're right, Tom. I don't think Warnock would stay if we didn't have a chance. I think he's overachieved this year, and credit to him. Like, we have overachieved, but I still stick to the point. I don't think we're ready for promotion. I don't think the club's ready for promotion, because if we were to go up, you've got Warnock there again. It's like, could have one more year of Warnock. Is he going to stay? Is he not going to stay? His record in the Premier League is not that good. And you've got to think of these like different scenarios of where can we go and what will happen if we lose a manager, because we don't want to go up to the Premier League again and do exactly what we did, spend a lot of money on players, have just like combustion in the middle of the season, and then be stuck with
Steve Agnew.
And then give it to Steve again, you know what I mean? So as much as I think Steve Agnew is a great coach, he's never a manager. And that's like what I speak to the guest with, who I already spoke to last week about. I was going to name drop there, and I was like, I can't do it. We promised we wouldn't say anything. But yeah, it's just interesting to see where Borough are. But we spoke anywhere on Twitter this week around signings and how many signings we might potentially need to get a promotion. So I'm going to put the question to you, and before we go on to find your players that you'd probably want to bring in, Dana, how many signings do you think Borough need to actually, you know, get Neil Warnock's wish and go for the promotion places?
I'll map it out loud now. Goalkeeper, probably, unless Stojanovic is going to make the step up.
Oh, is it two goalkeepers? Seven goalkeepers? Nine?
It could be.
A team of goalkeepers.
Yeah, do a Tony Pulis, but except loads of centre midfielders, loads of goalkeepers. But definitely at least one goalkeeper. And then I would say centre-half.
Yep.
I would say a number 10 to sort of cover for Tav. And then maybe two or three wingers, and then two strikers.
I think I've got eight. I think
that's a lot.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I think we need about eight or nine signings because you think about it, we don't have the depth already. We need a bit of quality. But then to come back on your point, do we have the finances to pull off eight signings?
That's true.
Given that we're losing probably Britt, Fletch, Nemav and the rest, like, we might have some finances there, but we probably need eight signings minimum. And then you think, well, what about the people that are leaving? Like, do we have to, like, cover that as well? Or, do you know what I mean? So we could look for, like, 10 signings, but then it's, like, a whole new team.
Yes.
And then you think, right, okay, we've just brought in 8 to 10 signings. They need time to gel. They probably need a year themselves. So unless Warnock's a magician and getting them to feel really comfortable straight away, it's a bit of a worry, isn't it? And Tom, how many do you think we need?
Well, I've just looked at my notes there for potential signings, and I've got 11. But some of those are depth options as well, so I wouldn't say it's like replace the full 11. That's how many I've got going into postseason.
Well, since you've got 11 there and you've got the notes in front of you, do you want to say who you'd probably want to bring in next season?
Yeah, sure. So when I've been looking at this, I've been kind of sticking to a set criteria. Warnock said
6 foot, blonde, loves golf on weekends, sunsets on the beach,
steak medium rare.
Other than that,
hang on, do they have sauce with the chips?
No, vinegar, only vinegar. right, so I've been looking at what Warnock has been saying in interviews we need, which is players in the prime of their career, certain age, championship experience, but then also combine that with the fact that we financially probably don't have a lot of money. So I think there's only about two or three of these where we'd actually have to pay fees for them. But what I've got, Bielkowski, as I mentioned last week,
last year
of his contract at Millwall, hopefully should be a cheap fee. Amari Bell on a free from Blackburn. For me, looking at the left-back spot, and I'm looking at two players for every position here, we've got Bowler, who's out-and-out left-back, and for me has come on quite well this season. But Nemav and Hayden Coulson aren't the competition I think.
And you need someone to push him as well. You don't want a James Husband scenario where Husband came in, you thought, oh, he's going to push George Friend, and then never got looking.
But like, yeah, exactly.
Good name drop, that, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
So good name drop. I'd want them two battling for the left-back spot. On the wings, Adam Reach, free transfer from Sheffield United. Mendes Lang and Bolasie, both free transfers. But failing that, if the finances are too much for them too, Junior Hoylett and Kadeem Harris, both free transfers. I think Naby Sarr from Huddersfield. Last year of his contract, I think when I've looked at him this morning, 6'5", good with the ball at his feet. Like I remember watching him when he was playing for Charlton.
He looked really good, didn't he?
Yeah, I rated him at that point. So last year of his contract, hopefully that'd be quite a cheap fee and get him there as competition at centre-back. Barry Bannon and Alex Moore, both free transfers. Both out of contract at the end of the season. Fair enough, Alex Moore depends if Barnsley go up or not. You'd think with the money we're saving on fees there, we could maybe make it up in wages and stuff for them. Ik Piazu from Wickham. Hopefully that'd be a cheap fee, considering he hasn't actually scored a lot of goals this season and they look like they're going down.
He'd fit right in then, wouldn't he? He doesn't score many goals.
You bullied McNair, to be fair, when we played.
Yeah, that's
kind of what I'm basing it on. Like, he did bully McNair when we went to them, what was it, New Year's Day or the day after? Scored against us, I think. So, you know, he scored 4 goals this season and typically one of them was against us. But also,
goal machine.
You know, in that Wickham team, you could have any striker up front and they're going to struggle to score goals. No disrespect to them, but they are weaker than a lot of the teams in the Championship. Nathan Baker on a free transfer from Bristol City. Competition at centre-back. I'd like to have two players for every position.
Yeah, good left-foot centre-half as well.
Him and Naby Sarr up competing with Hall and Fry for centre-back. And then finally, a name that's been mentioned a lot in the last couple of transfer windows, Famara Jeju from Bristol City, free transfer.
Yeah, there's some good signs there, I think. And realistically, I think Jeju's a big one. I think you appreciate he's been linked quite heavily with us, and you'd think that Borough would try and make that deal work. I don't think financially it made sense for us to get him in January, but if we can get him, great. I think Nathan Baker's a good signing, 6'3", 6'4". You know, every time I've seen him, yeah, he has been bullied by Britt a couple of times, but it's a relatively strong sign. I remember back in the day, they'll say back in the day, about four seasons ago, where...
2003,
yeah, where on FIFA, he'd go up to a decent potential, and then, like, and Football Manager was exactly the same, but from there, you thought he was going to progress quite quickly, and I don't think he has as much. But there's some fairly decent signings. I think there's a couple on there I'm going to come back to. I think Mendes Lang and Adam Reach. Where do you see Adam Reach playing? Because do you see him as a winger when he left the club, or do you see him now in this more of a cam position? Or do you see him in the Tamworth Kink position where he played a right wing and just try and ping one from 40 yards?
I'd see him as a left winger, but one who can cover at cam if we want to play that system. Mm. The kind of depth chart that I have out as next season would be Bolasie and Reach as left wingers and Mendes Lang and Watmore on the right wing.
Yeah, it's financially, I think Bolasie could be a bit too much. I like Bolasie to stay. I think he'd do the job for one more year.
I think it depends. So, I mean, he's 31. Really like he's him, not going to get the same wage as he was on at Everton anywhere else at this stage of his career.
Yeah, to be fair, he must be on like what? He must be on like 60, 70 bags, 80 bags a week. Surely he's got to be. I mean, if you're signing for Everton on like a £25 to £27 million deal, surely.
Yeah, must be.
You've got to be on that much. I can't see Borough forking out more than. I can't see us pretty much spending more than 15, 20k.
Even if we did get him, it'd have to be a short term kind of deal. Like I said, he's 31, no disrespect to him, but any footballer at that age is kind of coming towards the end of the career, especially if you're a winger. He has been effective in bits and pieces for us this season. I appreciate he's not kind of fully match fit, but yeah, you'd think if we can offer him a decent enough deal, you know, he might stay around for a season or two.
Yeah, well, he seems to have fitted in quite well, and I really do like Bolasie. And it's not just because he follows us on Twitter or anything like that. It's just I actually genuinely like him as a footballer. I think he still looks really tiny, and he still looks like he's got a bit about him. But I feel like you're right, Tom. I think it has to be short term because I can't see us getting the best out of Yannick Bolasie now. But Dana, we'll come on to you. We've got some good signings there from Tom. I think there's some. You know, very Neil Warnock signs as well. And when you look at Tom's Football Manager career modes and stuff like that, you should see the football he plays. It's very much long ball in the channels and hope for the best. So, realistically, I think you're on the money there, Tom. But, Dana, where do you want to go? Are you going to go Continental or are you going to go Championship?
A little bit of both, but I'm going into the land of delusion, I think, because... For most of these, I can't see Borough.
I've only had six pints. You know?
Pints of water. But my first one is Josh Corrimer, a player that Borough fans know already from this season, scored against us in November. He's actually been out with an injury for the majority of the season. He's due back this month. But he plays on the left-hand side. He likes to cut inside and get shots off. That's what we saw. That was the situation that he scored from against us at the John Smith Stadium. 51 shots this season, so he's not the traditional winger that will get out wide, get around the full-backs and whip crosses in. He very much is, like Tom always says, the Iron Robin of the Championship, and Iron Robin type player, I guess, in that he wants to cut in and get shots off. 6 goals in 16 games this season before his injury, and he has a goal threat out wide, and that's what Borough need. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Borough not having a 20 goal a season striker, but I don't think we need one. I think we just need players that will chip in different positions. And one of the major criticisms of Borough when you look into the lack of goal scoring is that the midfielders aren't scoring enough, the defenders aren't scoring enough, the wingers aren't chipping in either. So I think Josh Corrimer would tick the box.
No one scores enough,
yeah.
Bernie Slaven, 1990, last 20 goal of the season striker. Jesus in the league. Christ. Obviously, Ravinelli scored, I think, 30 in one season. I think
we weren't even born then, were you?
You weren't.
No, 1990.
Oh, 1990, all right, yeah, okay. I was going to say, yeah, none of us were born, yeah. Mm-hmm. The back old days in the air.
Jesus, yeah. But my next player is Elias Chair from QPR, player that we will find out more about when we play them, whenever that will be. I know it's being rescheduled, that game. But a player that I think it plays in a position where Borough need to take the heat off Tav, because when Tav hasn't played this season, we've missed him, and he's a big influence on the team. I think that's reflected on when Tav is in the team, typically we win. So Elias Chair's got 8 goals and 3 assists this season. I was actually looking at his expected assists before the Easter games. I couldn't get an updated list of this, but his expected assist, stood at 7, and at that point he was on 1 assist. So someone at QPR is quite clearly fluffing loads of chances, probably Lyndon Dykes, to be fair, but should be on a lot more assists this season. You know, a creative player, but the criticism of him is that he's a little bit rough around the edges and often makes the wrong decision. But competition for Tav, I think, is much needed. And he's a big crosser of the ball as well, most in the division with 245. 1.6 key passes per game. If you compare that to Borough's best, which is Tav on 1.3, I think he'd be a very astute signing. Only problem with those two players, we will never be able to sign them, I don't think. I think, obviously, Championship to Championship, they'll want a big fee.
Yeah, and QPR as well. My underrated team for next year. I'm gonna.
Yeah.
I know we normally wait until the season preview podcast, but I think QPR could be the team. But
they could well be, to be fair. But yeah, moving on. Charlie Wyke, Sunderland. I think it makes complete sense for Borough to go in for Charlie Wyke. He's got he's the second top scorer in League One this season with 23 goals. Great hold up player, fits the Warnock way, and looking into that. Jesus Christ, get some water.
You're right, Dana.
Yeah.
But whilst you're down in your pint of water, Charlie Wyke's an interesting one, because for me, like, I wonder if he's on his level. Do you know what I mean?
That's a good argument.
Because there's some players that absolutely thrive in certain divisions, i.e. Cameron Jerome, fantastic in the Championship, great in the lower leagues. As soon as he hit the Premier League, he was anonymous.
Yeah, Cameron Jerome syndrome,
yeah. So it could be that. Bamford was the same until, obviously, this year with Leeds. So it'd be interesting. But sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's in his prime at the moment. He's 28. And just looking into that before my voice died on me, 11 of his 23 goals this season have been from headers. And I think that's the type of player that Borough need in the box, because, again, a big criticism of Borough's attacking output is that we just don't gamble. There's nobody in there that for these high crosses can get on the end of. So Charlie Wright for me would be a no-brainer, free agent as well. Borough lad, Borough fan. Saw him in Wilkinson's once. in red car. And yeah, I think he'd love to come back to Borough and just, I don't know, have another opportunity, because he was, I think we let him go in 2015. So I think he would be a great signing. To my point about an experienced centre-half to just add some competition and depth, I think Tom Lees of Sheffield Wednesday, I know people will be like, oof, because, you know, they're probably pinned on for relegation, but he's out of contract in the summer, so it's a deal that probably makes sense. And this season has been a little bit rocky for him, probably as many bad displays as good, but given how their campaign has panned out, I think that could be expected. But nonetheless, a very seasoned performer. I think we need an experienced defender with Championship experience and know-how if Fry's injured or Grant Hall's injured, because another problem of Borough's this season has been when Fry's been injured. So I think we need competition there. And a player that was on my transfer wish list last season and is still on it this season is Serdar Dursun from Darmstadt. Adding the goals again, 17 goals this season, 7 assists as well. So 24 goal contributions in 26 games. And to add to it, he's out of contract in the summer. So can we finally get him, please? I know this is a proper FIFA career mode dream signing, yeah. But, you know, I think, from what I've seen of Dursun, and I do watch a bit of German football, is that he will fit the Warnock way, because he is a hold-up striker, he's a goal scorer, but he's also very technical as well, and I think that's sort of the type of player that Warnock will want, a little bit like a Kiefer Moore. And Derby were linked with a move for him in January, I remember, so we never know. It could be a deal that Borough could do. Players in the Darmstadt team that has sort of struggled for consistency this season. They're 12th out of 18. Teams, and he's accounted for 51% of their goals. So, you know, we need a striker.
Yeah, with that, I agree with you on the final signing. I think it makes absolute sense. So that's why it definitely won't happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, but I think, come back on Charlie Wyke. Do you think that Sunderland, given where Sunderland are, I think the top of the League One at the moment, or the second now, after the games over the weekend, but Do you think Sunderland would even let him go if they were promoted? Do you know what I mean? Letting a 25 goal a season straight goal, you know, just got new owners, there's more finances that will come in. He's worked with Lee Johnson, give him the confidence there, he's given him game time. Can you see it?
I don't know. I don't know what the noises are from Sunderland, to be fair, in regards to his contract. I don't know.
We've got a lot of players out of contract too. We've got like about 15 players out of contract or something daft like that.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on why, because if Boris signal interest early, I can kind of see him being swayed, because surely to God you can't turn down going back to Borough.
I would, yeah. I can't see Neil Warnock playing to my strengths at 5'7", can you?
And same trying to play to mine.
I can see him playing yours, he just hits off you. Well, yeah, I couldn't see it at me, and I'm not a centre forward, so. But you know what I mean, though? I couldn't see it happening. It'd be interesting. I think that. I don't think Charlie Wake would come. I don't think he would come to the club. I don't think it's. I think if you go up with Sunderland, you know, you're the main man. I don't know. And also, he's never played in the Championship either, so it's like kind of.
Yeah, it's true. But I suppose the argument is he earned the move up. And if Sunderland do bottle it and don't go up, then I think it's a no-brainer on both sides, I think.
If they bottle it, yeah, I agree with you. And then you could probably get one of the cheap and. Hopefully it would work out. With some decent signings there, though, then I'm pretty happy with those. But we've suggested quite a lot of names there, and I feel like no one's going to put this. But I'll go out of mine, shall I? I'll start off with goalkeepers first, and I'll work.
Is this a long list?
There is quite a few. But I feel
it's
like
new 25 man squad up there.
It's just like new squad, new identity and everything. But three goal
new season, new me.
I went with three goalkeepers that
Jesus.
Two were on a free and one you can get on loan. The one on loan, he conceded 16 goals on his debut for Borough anyway, was Jamal Blackman. But I feel like it'd be quite good to, you know, he's looking for that to establish himself now as a first team player, so can make sense if we can potentially bring him back in. And then I went with two experienced goalkeepers. I went with Wayne Hennessy and I went with John Ruddy. And they're both 34. And I feel like we gave Demi a chance at 38. So John Ruddy, I think, makes absolute sense. Great championship experience. You know, he's coming to the end of his career at Wolves. You know, one last hurrah maybe. Or it could even be a second choice keeper to help if safe, like for whatever reason, we went, oh, you know what? Sol Brin's my number one this year. You know, it gives someone experience. But then it just makes, if we put Sol Brin as the number one keeper next year, why did we sell Ainsley Pears? And don't get me wrong, like, I didn't think Ainsley Pears was that good anyway, but come on, like, what was the point in this? But
it's
anyway.
It's the same with, I know we've been linked with Oxford's Jack Stevens, but I think before December, he didn't have many senior appearances for them. So, sort of, like, I do agree with, I think we need an experienced goalkeeper.
And then I've got two unlikely signings for goalkeepers who I'd potentially want, but they would never ever happen in a million years. But standing in Liège as goalkeeper, Arnaud Bodart, he's 22-year-old, his breakthrough season this year, and he's playing the Europa League and obviously in the J Pro. And I really like him, given that, you know, I follow on Delect, so it's like, I just had a quick look at him. I think, you know what, he's fairly decent and young. He's, you know, he's looking. Yeah, he's yet to sign an extended deal. He's out of contract in the end of 2022 season. I couldn't get the numbers out there. So it might be, you know, something that we could potentially look at. And then there's finally this Genk's goalkeeper. And I think I'm going to put my name, I'm going to throw out there, but I think he's going to be a sensational goalkeeper in the next about 5-6 years. It's Martin van der Vaart.
FIFA career mode legend.
Yeah, from Genk. And I thought, this could be just one of these FIFA things where, like, you know, where there's, you know, they make someone like 99 rating and they never like come to fruition. But this guy, he's started to come through this year and he looks really solid for Genk. And I don't think that he's going to be an established goalkeeper for like the next season or so. But when he does come in, I think they've got a very, very good goalkeeper there. And I wouldn't be surprised if he came at, like, to the Premier League or a higher division or higher like standard of league in the coming years. I think he's absolutely solid. The only thing I would probably say about him, he's got a little bit of David De Gea about him where, like, he's a little bit light and, you know, he could get bullied off the ball, and the physicality of the English game, it might struggle against it, but technically he looks fairly solid. I feel like such a scout, by the way, and, like, no two goalkeepers. But then I've went to defenders. I had Sarr on my list as well, Tom Sogo. But then I also had Jake Clark-Salter at Chelsea. He was at Birmingham this year and he hasn't really impressed too much.
Oh my God, he was the one that annihilated Adama Traore, wasn't he?
He was,
in the Teesweir derby. I'm not supposed to say that, apparently. It's not a Teesweir derby.
Well, it's not a derby, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was very, very good. And I feel like he hasn't really established himself at Birmingham this year. He's played 30-odd games, but like, you know, he hasn't really... When you're playing with Harley Dean, and he turns like a bus as well, so it's like... And you've got George Friend on the other side, and you're like, I'm not really going to get enough pace. Who turns like a lorry. I feel like he struggled a little bit this year, but good sign all around. Then you've got Luke Garbutt as well, who was formerly at Everton, and Ancelotti didn't even know who he was. And then, but I know who you are, Luke, so you come in for me at left back, and that would probably push... Mark Waller as well. Moving to midfield, I'll be quick with these ones. I've got Junior Bakuna, Huddersfield's out of contract, 23-year-old, very technically good, their most creative player at Huddersfield this year. Got Adam Reach as well, Tom. Alan Halilovic at Birmingham.
Good show.
He was at, obviously, Barcelona for a few years, couldn't really establish himself, came to Birmingham. And then Birmingham fans actually really like him, but I don't know if he's going to fit in the league or his plans. And then you've got John Torral as well, as more of a centre defensive midfielder, helps us with the coverage of Johnny Howson, who's probably, his legs are going to start teetering away probably next year. And then I've also said if we can try and get Mendes Lang and Marvin Johnson back, then perfect. My dream signing would be Francis Amuzu at Anderlecht. I really like him. Like, honestly, I don't know how he's not been tipped for a move yet. Like, him and Sam Vilakonga, the superb signings, and I just think Vincent Kompany needs to like give Amuzu more time. He just, for whatever reason, he sees him more as an impact player, and I don't, every time he comes on the pitch, Anderlecht play better. And you know, he creates chances for Lucas Nemecha, for goodness sake. Like, if you can create chances for Lucas Nemecha to score and be one of the top scorers in the J Pro, then God, you can do anything. And then finally, if we go down the loan route, Tariq Youaké, he's on loan at Accrington Stanley this year, and he's just starting to come through. I feel like I can't see him as more of like a Mason Mount type of signing, you know, where he went to Derby. But I feel like he'd be a good little winger to have. But then it's like kind of saying, well, if we're bringing him on loan, why aren't we playing Flaren? Do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Flaren's not any ready.
Oh, he's not ready. But then if we brought in a 21-year-old from Chelsea on loan, and then we had a 21-year-old, and sorry, I don't know if Flaren's 21, but he's, you know. Yeah,
19, 20.
Yeah, and fans are going to be like, "Oh, why are we doing that?" You know what I mean? Like,
but I mean, I hear that all the time, and I do think it's a valid argument. But I think there's a different standard, isn't there? Or there could potentially be a different standard to, Chelsea in the Premier League, to Division One, we're in Premier League, well, the second division. So, different standard, different quality of players coming through.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. But then I'll go to the centre forwards. I've got Ike Ukpo. He's playing in the JPro this year for Cercle Bruges, and 15 goals, and they haven't been doing fairly well either. And I feel like your young English centre forward looking for a next stage of development, Championship could be a standard. Fairly decent, but I can't see him as being a Neil Warnock signing, which is a shame because he's pacey, you know, he gets in around the box. And that would really frustrate me because we don't do any of that. then I've went with Jamie Patterson of Bristol City. He's annihilated us every season he's played at the Riverside, so therefore he'll do terrible for us when he signs.
The right, Jason Newell effect.
The Jason Newell effect, yeah. I've got Deirdre, which you mentioned there, Tom. I've got two strikers from League One. I've went with Luke Jeffcott, 16 goals this season, 21-year-old at Plymouth. With Jerry Yates as well, who's a 24-year-old, who's joint third top goal scorer with Charlie Wyke.
His strike partner, Ellis Sims, is a decent shout. I was looking at him the other day on loan from Everton. I think he's one of the top scorers in the Premier League One, Division One. But the only problem with him is he's probably more of a sort of Tchoubrak-Pom-esque signing.
Yeah.
In the, like, the style of play, and Borough just... No. For those players that, you know, they want to play him behind, it's no go.
Yeah, true. And then finally, I went with one signing who I know, Denny, you don't approve of, and I don't think he's going to be I don't think he's going to be a first team striker anymore. Well, not first team, but like a starter. But he's on a free, and I went with Troy Deeney, 32-year-old. It screams David Nugent. Screams David Nugent.
No, because David Nugent could run.
Yeah, but, you know, Boris strikers don't run. You don't need them to run, you just hit true. Him. True. You know what I mean? And that's what...
Just ping the crosses into the box yeah. and up the stud.
I'm going to throw out there. I think Troy Deeney would be a half-decent signing, just given that he's on a free, and then appreciate wages will probably be astronomical. Like, but, you know, could be a fairly decent signing for us.
Not for me, Jeff.
I know, not for you, Dana, but you never know. But we'll come back to the goalkeepers then, Dana, because... Dejan Stjanovic, you pulled a tweet up last week around his current performances for St. Pauli. The stats weren't really in his favour, but you've done a bit of research with some of the fans.
Yeah, and I spoke to Ben Brave, St. Pauli on the Sea, and really glowing report about Stjanovic, because I know we've got a piece going out tomorrow about it, so there'll be more within that. But he's really contributed to their upturn in form this season, and they were massively struggling when Dejan Stjanovic came in, and he saved them a lot of points. I do believe they're placed eighth now in Bundesliga's vice, so they've done really well since he came in. And you know what? I'm going to throw it out there. I do actually want to see Dejan Stjanovic more next season, because surely we can't let him go. Surely we can't bring him in. I mean, the poor guy came in, made his debut at Charlton, which was the last game that saw fans decorating all the stands. And then COVID struck. So, and
was
then
it?
He.
Was that his debut?
That was his debut.
No.
Yeah.
You're having me on.
I'm 90% sure it was, yeah.
I feel like I remember it. Didn't he make a couple of like really decent saves that day, and BBC teas were absolutely buzzing over him?
Yeah. I'm sure that was his debut. And the last thing that Neil Warnock said about him was that he wanted to go home and see his family at Christmas.
Fair enough.
And that obviously he couldn't because of COVID, but. I do want to see him next season. I think I don't want Borough to give up on Dejan Stjanovic, because clearly from the report that we got back from Ben, he's been performing really well, and I think he just needs confidence, and it's been tough for him because he's coming to a different country away from his family. There's a global pandemic that's been brought about, and then he's gone away. So I think we need to give him more time and more trust, I think.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Dejan Stjanovic, and he looked fairly decent, didn't he, at the back end of last year when the COVID season resumed again. And I'd be interested to see what we want to do with him. It's interesting that we brought in Jordan Archer as well for the end of the season. And we've got a question about him, funny enough, from James Carter. He said, surely it's time to give Archer a few games to see if he can be called upon. Would be a good backup option for the next season. But I want to see him in action again. Do you think Borough could probably keep Jordan Archer and then bring in Stjanovic, and then you've got, there's your two goalkeepers for next season? Do you see that as more of a realistic possibility, Dana?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, as much as Jordan Archer's pretty much my sleep paralysis demon from that game against Sunderland, I do actually want to see him given more of an opportunity towards the end of the season, because he could well be our number two next year, out of contract. I know Bertinelli is as well, but I do think we need options in that goalkeeping position, Don. So
there you go. There it is.
I said it earlier and it was in my head. I was like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Don.
Don. But yeah, I would actually like to see him, because there's nothing to play for now. So you may as well try. I mean, I know you're saying that players are playing for their futures, but Bettinelli's, I think, already pretty much decided his future for the majority of the season.
I mean, if you'd seen Twitter yesterday, I probably wouldn't have went on it, because there was a lot of abuse. I mean,
yeah,
we probably need to stop the abuse, but all we tweeted was Mark Spennelly discuss, and it was just like bang, 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 bang. I was like, oh, right, okay, well, this is not good.
Yeah. This is not escalated.
This is not good. Delete that tweet. And then next question, Tom, we got from Danny Beermore. He said, did January halt our form? Have the loan signings, hand on heart, really made a difference?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it was particularly down to the loan signings halting our form or anything like that. I feel like we ran out of steam in January, definitely. I think, obviously, it's a season like no other, this one, with the fixture schedule being so congested. You know, absolutely heroic effort from the players we had to make it through to January with as little injuries as possible. But then, yeah, we've went on a bit of a January slump when the steams ran out, and the loan players have made a little bit of difference in bits and pieces, but not the difference we were all hoping for. I think after that January slump, it's it's been hard to get confidence back up and get the team playing the way they were at the start of the season. You know, bad performances, bad refereeing performances and stuff like that all came into effect over January and February, and I think it's just taken its toll mentally on the team. And then you get into this part of the season where, you know, a few games ago all we needed was like a big push, big concerted effort to try and get into the playoffs. Ideally you'd need, like, at the end of that promotion season where Karanka came back and we didn't lose for 10 games, that's what you'd have needed to get into the playoffs. But then you've got a lot of players who don't seem arsed at the moment. You know, particularly the ones that are out of contract at the end of the season. So, yeah, I think because of that, it's time to kind of like just nothing to play for. Let's go again next season after we've rebuilt. But yeah, I think that's impacted how much of an impact the January loan signings have been able to have.
Yeah, it's a shame that they haven't, because I feel like it's probably one of the best windows we've had in a long time, and it just never really materialised to be something special. But at the end of that January window, I was like, hey, you know, I'm a bit worried here. Like, we could actually go up and have to get a tight one backside. So, so with that, yeah, I'm a little disappointed with the signings in the end. But I feel like Balassi and Cabano and Nazan, they've been okay additions. We've just, like you've said there, Tom, I don't think we've stepped into gear, and I think that's just through probably a number of different factors. Well, the next question, Tom, we'll keep with you, and it says, from Patrick Carey, he says, on the weekend of the Masters, what's a par position in the league for Borough, and are Warnock and the team over or underperforming? Comparisons to last year's league positions are not acceptable take. I said earlier, I think that we've probably overachieved this year anyway. I think that we're relatively... I kind of feel like I'm in the boat of, have we overachieved, or are we where we should be? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, because I know Patrick's saying it's not an acceptable answer, but where we were last year and how poor we were last year.
Unacceptable.
I know it's like, I don't know where we are, but I'm going to say we've overachieved this year. There we go. That's my answer.
I'm going to say we are pretty much in a par position this year, because if you look at it since we've come back down to the Championship, other than last season, and you know, the two seasons under Pulis and this season being around the same position. Obviously, we got the playoffs the first season, then was it seventh or eighth the season after, then bottom half last season, and then what, eighth or ninth this season. Yeah, I'd say we're probably around where we deserve to be. I think last season was a one-off. We had an inexperienced manager trying to play a different style of football, and it kind of backfired massively. But with the squad that we have, I think this is around the position we should be.
Yes. Next question, Dana, from Paul McInnes. He's asked us a couple of times, but it says, not related to today's game, but in recent years when coaches or senior figures within the club leave the roles or like sacked, why is there no announcement from the club, like i.e. Venus, Agnew, Jordan, Leo, Gill, spring of mind, strange goings on? Do you think Borough have to be in a position to announce those things, or does it really matter?
I suppose if they announce that they've come in, it makes more logical sense to announce when they've left. Because, I mean, the Joe Jordan one in particular, I mean, he came in, blinked, and then left. So,
yeah, true.
It's a weird one. I can't really answer that question because I don't really know the ins and outs. There doesn't seem to be much communication flowing through from the club in that respect.
Yeah, it's one of those where I think that, I don't know, Borough don't really have to announce it, to be honest. It's not like a major sign, is it? You know what I mean? Like, Joe Jordan leaving, like, it's not going to like be on the back page of the news.
Didn't he get an injury?
What, Joe Jordan?
Sure, he got an injury. Cause,
No,
because it was funny because, well, not funny, but it was slightly ironic that Leo got injured, didn't he? I think he did his... Achilles or something. Leo got injured, and then Joe Jordan came in, and then he got injured.
What was he doing?
I thought it was the goalkeeping coach after Leo that had got injured.
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It was Eric Steele, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was him.
Tom's on the money. Fake news from
another
me.
Leg injury.
Gee, honestly, like, where? What are we doing?
Launching bricks at our goalkeepers, apparently.
Quite no wonder Petinelli's petrified.
It was a goalkeeping curse.
If you can dodge a brick, you can dodge a ball.
Quite clearly, given Bettinelli's recent performances, that's what we must be doing. But the final question, we've alluded to it earlier in the podcast, Dana, but said, did Warnock, for Tom Chris, and he said, did Warnock throw in the towel too early with his negative comments and then focus on for next season? Not even competing now and getting beat off teams that know better than us. I want to throw out there, I think the teams that have been beaten off the last few games are better than us.
They're better than us, but earlier on in the season, take Barnsley out of the equation, because I think Barnsley are a completely different team now than what they were when we played them at the Riverside. But against Watford, first game of the season, we competed really well in that game against them, and I think arguably we should have got a point from that game, and I think Watford fans will tell you the same. Bournemouth as well, I thought we competed really well against them at the Riverside, probably could have got more out of that one as well, but for the sloppy goal that we conceded. But I don't think we've been really competing as much in the last couple of games. So I understand your point that they are better teams than us, but the application has just been off. And I think Warnock's team selections have been weird. Playing Tuukka Rantanen yesterday when it's just not his style of play. Playing Watmore up front on his own. I know he's got limited options in the sense.
He's got limited options, Dan, so...
Yeah, in the sense of, I know I said earlier, don't play Fletcher and Britt. But even so, I think the team selections have been a bit strange for me. Playing Nathaniel Mendes-Lang at Bournemouth, which was not the game to play Nathaniel Mendes-Lang, I don't think. He looked like Ali Dia trying to play football. It was just... I feel for him, because it's obviously he's been out of action for a while, but it was just not the time to play a rusty player. And yeah, I just think his performance... his team selections of late have been a little bit strange. His tactics as well, I think, have been equally as strange.
Ali Dia was such a strange sign to throw back at me there. Like, I was so confused. But let's move on. Let's chat about QPR and appreciate the game is going to be rescheduled following the death of Prince Philip. But we'll chat about it anyway. And they are probably one of the most informed teams of the Championship in the second half of the season. But they haven't really... made a run for the playoffs. Who wants to go first? Tom, do you want to take us in with the form?
Yeah, I've got the form. There's no live game this week, unfortunately, so I can't do my Soccer Saturday parody again. But in the last five games, they won three of them. Beat Sheffield Wednesday 4-1 yesterday, but before that, lost 3-1 to Nottingham Forest. Game before that, 3-0 win at home at Coventry, 1-1 draw with Reading, and 3-2 win against Millwall before that. So it does seem like they're in a decent bit of form at the moment. Even if they want to postpone it and push it back a couple of weeks, let them get a couple of losses before we play them. That would probably help us out a little bit. But.
Well, based on yesterday, I wouldn't mind if it was postponed and just taken out the equation completely.
4-1, right?
Was just sim it.
Just sim it to end the season.
Just sim it, yeah. Yeah, it was 4-1 against Sheffield.
4-1. But yeah, Dana, do you want to bring us on with any more analysis?
Yeah, they played a different formation at the beginning of the season because they had Bright Osei Samuel, who's since moved on. They're now playing a 3-4-2-1, or they did in the last game against Sheffield Wednesday. And given the departures of Eze and Royce Samuel, I think Elias Chair, who's obviously on my transfer wish list, has stepped up massively. There's still a long way that he needs to go, but him and Chris Willock in the last game were very good together, and I think of late they have been very good together, just behind Lyndon Dykes, who struggled this season. I don't think he's made any secret of that, but he's been he's improved certainly of late, and I think Elias Chair is definitely the player to watch. I mean, he's the second top scorer for them this season. He's got 3 assists to his name as well, so the most goal contributions with 11. In terms of key passes per game, he tops that. Shots on target, he tops that. He's just a very good player and someone that I think is definitely worth watching. But yeah, they're obviously a team that did struggle earlier on in the season. I do seem to remember there were calls for Warburton to leave, but from nowhere, I think they've really come into their own. And obviously it's going to be a really difficult game against them. We're really going to have to match their physicality. I think they've got Rob Dickey in defence, who I think was linked with us when he was at Oxford. Really good centre half, has improved a lot this season as well. Good team that I think have really started to improve of late, and Bora need to again match the physicality, but also try to exploit those spaces in that back three.
Well, whether we exploit them or not, I don't really know, but we're coming to predictions. No. how are you feeling? Do you think that it's a pretty much a nothing game, and it's dead rubber because no team has anything to play for, which might work in Borough's favour and also might work in QPR's favour. So, got any predictions, Tom? Do you want to go first?
I feel like this might be the first time I've predicted the other team to win, but I'm going to go QPR 2-0. QPR, but no confidence for this game.
Okay. And Dana?
I'm going to go 1-1, but just a quick question, actually. You said we've got nothing to play for. Is this the first time, the first time in a while that we've had nothing to play for at this stage of the season? Because you remember last season it was relegation, yeah, safety, season before that, playoffs, then we were in the Premier League, and then seasons before that it was promotion, then the playoffs. So I think it's been a while, hasn't it, since we've had nothing to play for?
Yeah, it's uncharted territory.
Strange feeling.
It's uncharted territory, and it feels weird that we're in this position, but I think that we, if you're putting your hand on heart, start of the season, if you said that Borough weren't going to have an important game to play for at the end of the season, I think you probably would have took it, to be honest. I think if you said Borough were going to finish mid-table after last year, you'd go, yeah, all right, I would have probably took that. But yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. I think that it doesn't really bode well for anyone, to be honest. I don't think anyone's that bothered. Fans aren't that bothered. I think I'm not even that bothered. And we lost a podcast, and like I was clutching at straws yesterday thinking of what the hell am I going to write about the Barnsley game, or ask the questions around. But yeah, it's a bit of a difficult one, but yeah, I think that I'm happy to be where we are in terms of, you know, the like play for nothing. But guys, yeah, I'm going to go for my prediction. I'm going to say I'm going to go 1-1 as well. I can't see us picking up a win, to be honest. Borough win 5-0.
So you can only off.
No, yeah.
Avenge the bottle top incident. Oh, yeah. That was Ravel, yeah, Morrison as well, wasn't it?
It was Ravel Morrison, yeah. Seeing, and now look at him. I think he's going to get a club money, but he's training with someone, isn't he?
Yeah, who was he at? Sheffield Wednesday, I think.
Sheffield Wednesday. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, guys, that's pretty much it. Thank you very much for joining me, and thank you to the listener for listening to us as well. We hope you enjoyed it. But that's it. Borough's season is done and dusted with 5 games to spare and with a lot of players going up the door. It'll be interesting to see where Neil Warnock goes from here. This has been the Borough Breakdown Podcast, and that was all your Match Day Chatter in a pod.
Craig Hignett, hit it, Higgy! Higgy, it's the trap!
Abanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Abanelli spots out Emerson!
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.